I would just share very briefly from a chapter of John's Gospel, chapter 6. The occasion is that time that we have just sung about, but my thought is a little different in this chapter. John chapter 6, we would remember that in verse 5, there was a great multitude coming to the Lord Jesus. And in John chapter 6, the development comes as the Lord says to his disciples, particularly Philip is mentioned in verse 5, about the need for bread. There is discovered, or he is informed, it is mentioned to him that there is one there who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. We realize in verse 6 that the Lord Jesus already knew what he was going to do. And so even though there's a chronology to the chapter, the deity of the Lord Jesus is even revealed in a little detail like this. He said this question to Philip because he wanted it to be in Philip's mind that there was a need to do something. But he himself knew what he would do. And those who sat there and ate from the loaves and the fish were filled. End of verse 11, they had as much as they wanted. Verse 12, they were filled, and the fragments are gathered together. I'd like to read verse 14 of this chapter and a little further. John chapter 6, verse 14. Then those men, when they had seen the sign that Jesus did, said, "This is truly the prophet who is to come into the world." Therefore, when Jesus perceived that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he departed again to the mountain by himself alone. And the verses that follow, the Lord Jesus crosses over the sea. The disciples are sent first in a boat. The Lord Jesus comes to them walking on the sea and calms the storm. Verse 22, on the following day, the people who were standing on the other side of the sea saw that there was no other boat there except that one which his disciples had entered, and that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but his disciples had gone away alone. In verse 24, when the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they also got into boats and came to Capernaum seeking Jesus. And when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them and said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled." In this chapter, along with the wonderful miracles that are recorded, we see these different misunderstandings about who the Lord Jesus was and is. Or perhaps I might say deficient understandings of who the Lord Jesus was and is. There was this great miracle. Their stomachs were full of the food that they enjoyed, provided to them by the hand of the Lord Jesus. And they saw the sign in verse 14. It was alluded to, mentioned a little earlier, that John always uses this word signs. Brother Mark, I think it was, mentioned that in the end of his gospel, it says, I've given these signs, says John the writer, so that you would believe. They're miracles, but John uses the word signs. Your English translation might use the word miracles, but it's not the same word as miracles in other gospels. Acts of power, that's miracles. But these are signs, signposts, placards of information for them to observe and to see that this one was someone worthy of their notice. And so they see the sign that the Lord Jesus did, and they say, this is truly the prophet who is to come into the world. And to a degree, they're right. This is a reference, as John often does, giving little references without explanation, but little references, allusions, commenting on phrases and notes from the Old Testament. And Moses in Deuteronomy 18 had said, the Lord your God is going to raise up for you a prophet like me, and him you shall hear. People always didn't always listen to Moses. But Moses says, the Lord your God is going to raise up for you a prophet. And so sometimes, you remember, the Lord Jesus would say to his disciples, who do people say that I am? And when they would say, one of the prophets, this no doubt was one of the thoughts in the minds of some. Well, there's going to be a prophet, a great prophet in the mold of Moses, whom we're waiting for. And yes, the Lord Jesus was that prophet. Stephen, in Acts chapter 7, refers to this character of the Lord Jesus as well in this Old Testament prophecy. There he says, you always resist the Holy Spirit. You didn't listen to Moses. Your fathers didn't listen to Moses. Now you have rejected the one who came in fulfillment of that prophetic promise. But these people, they saw something about the Lord Jesus as the prophet, but they did not see that he's more than a prophet. He's the Word. He's the one who the Word originates from. Him. A prophet speaks for somebody else. It's an interesting use of the word prophet in the Old Testament. In the time of Moses and Aaron, the Lord says, I think it's in Exodus 6 or 7, he says to Moses, I have made you a god to Pharaoh, and Aaron is going to be your prophet. It didn't mean that Moses was divine. It meant that it would seem to Pharaoh as though Moses is giving the words and Aaron is just sort of speaking them in the presence of Pharaoh. And so a prophet is speaking on behalf of someone else, and the people say, this might be that prophet. We've had a great meal. This was miraculous. Maybe he's the prophet. But he's more than the prophet. He's the Word. And then in verse 15, they're going to come and they're going to make him a king. They're going to give him a place of dignity, and they're going to treat him with reverence. And maybe they're going to bow down before him and say, yes, be our king, because our stomachs are full. You've made us happy. So we want to give you some place of honor because you've done something for us. We're going to treat you with some measure of reverence. And the Lord Jesus knows the emptiness of that kind of response. He perceives that they're going to come and even by force insist that he would receive such a place among them. But it was for emptiness. Is the Lord Jesus a king? Absolutely. He is the king. In the presence of Pilate, later in this gospel, Pilate says, are you a king then? You say rightly, I am a king. But my kingdom is not from this world. Although there's going to be a time where his kingdom will be visible in this world. But he's not just the king. He's the Son of God. He is divine. He is God himself. He is the Word who is God. And this deficient view, let's just give him a place of honor because he does something nice for us. That's not how we look at the Lord Jesus. We don't give him a place of honor as a prophet when he has the authority of the Word itself originating within him. We don't give him this fake place of kingship and authority in our lives when some of these very same ones later have no interest in his words anymore. We don't give him a place of authority just because he did something that satisfied our physical needs and our desires in life. He deserves that place because he is divine. He is also the king. He is the king, but he is more than a king. And in the other verses that we read. It's very interesting, really, that what happened was there was only one boat, evidently, on the side of the shore where they had eaten the bread and the fish. And they saw that the disciples, the crowd saw that the disciples got into the boat and launched out into the Sea of Galilee. They saw that the Lord Jesus did not get into that boat. So they went home, perhaps. They did whatever they did overnight, found a place to sleep, and they came back. Boy, that was a good meal yesterday. They might have said to each other, that was really something special. I'd like to go see if I can get some more of that. And they come back and they can't find the Lord Jesus. And they know he's got to be there because his disciples crossed the sea in the boat, but not him. And they can't find him. So they set out looking for him. They get in, they fetch boats from somewhere and they go searching for him. And they find him over there. Across the sea. Rabbi, when they say, when did you come here? What they mean is, when did you come here? How did you get here? You didn't go by boat. And to this curiosity, he gives no answer. He just says, you're not really looking for me, are you? You're just intrigued by the fact that you had a full stomach yesterday. You're not really looking for me. The signs that you saw did not sink into your thoughts. They didn't have an effect on you. You saw the sign, you ate the food, but it had no value for you. And we might say, brothers and sisters, that this is a message for us in a gospel invitation. And no doubt all of us have come to a Bible conference today because our families brought us or because we usually go. And we know something about the Lord Jesus. We know that he deserves some prominent place. We know that he's pretty special. We know that he gives good words. We know he has some authority. We know he satisfies our needs, but perhaps we've become accustomed to these temporary deficient views, incomplete views of who the Lord Jesus is. He is the divine Son of God. He has rights over us. He has the words of life. He is not to be ranked alongside all the philosophers of this world. He's not to be listed among those who've amazed the people of this world. And so we don't want anyone to be here with an incomplete view of the Lord Jesus. If he is not your Savior, he must become your Savior if there is to be a depth of relationship with him. He must deal with your sins that are still separating you from God, if indeed you are still in your sins. But for any one of us, these are also deficiencies to address. Do we just think of the Lord Jesus as the one who satisfies us, the one who kind of inspires us for the day? You could be inspired by a Hallmark greeting card. You don't need the Lord Jesus just to be inspired and have something, you know, memorable. The Lord Jesus is not just a great prophet. He is the Word. He will give words of authority and power into our lives if we give him that place. He is more than just a great king in this world. He is God over all, blessed forever. God entering into this world. He is not someone who just satisfies our needs because we feel like we have some needs and he knows what our needs are and he's able to sort of make us feel good. Certainly, he satisfies every need. Certainly, if Philip and the other disciples tried to get some bread for the people, Philip was right when he said, if we spent so and so much money, we would barely have enough so that everybody could get a little. When the Lord Jesus gives bread, he adds fish with it. And it's enough so that you're full. there's never a need that we have that the Lord Jesus can't meet completely. But it's not just, if I might say, a utilitarian view of Jesus Christ. I'll follow him as long as he's meeting my needs. No, he's that one who is worthy of our every footstep following him. And here in this chapter, we see that this miracle of food for the body puts him in the presentation of the one who is food for our souls. A little later on the outline, we'll enjoy seeing him as life and as light. And these characteristics of the Lord are brought out in this gospel as well. This gospel, this message of food brought a great and strong reaction from the people, but it was misguided. May the Lord help us to have our steps following so closely after him that we will be instead imitating those in John chapter 1 who said, "Where are you staying? I'd like to be with you." And he said, "Come and see." And if we come and see, we will always be satisfied by him.